All right, so we move into hour number two. Welcome to the program. My name is Jim Rome. We already had Torrey Holt, 2021 NFL Hall of Fame finalist on the show. And we had Jared Allen on earlier in the week, so we've got that covered. Coming up, if you're watching on CBS Sports Network, you see the graphic. I've got Ryan Garcia coming up next segment. He is the interim WBC lightweight champ. Coming up in hour number three, Pittsburgh Steeler Cam Hayward. Steelers and Browns, one of the big showdowns coming up this weekend. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, 1-800-636-8686. If you want to take it a different way, you know to do so. It's Thursday, so we're kind of short-staffing it a little bit. Short-staffing it is a way of putting that Alvy is homeschooling today. He's still working. He's still streaming from the home. Had a little conversation online with the big head, James Kelly. I'm pushing him to take a shot at all six games for tomorrow. Big head bets. Buffalo Bills are hosting a playoff game for the first time in a quarter of a century. They're letting about 6,700 of the mafia in for that game. Which brings me to my next point really quickly. So, same year. Well, new year, same grind. Still getting after it. Still handling business. And the business is our daily simulcast, the NFL on CBS Hits, which you can watch this Saturday. Remember that? Not Sunday, but I'll be on Saturday. And of course, the old reliable, the Jim Rome podcast, the original side hustle, the 157 episode. I'm proud of that number. The 157 episode, still totally free, totally premium, totally long form, A-list weekly side hustle. And I'm going to kick off the 2021 chapter of the pod with a Buffalo Bills legend, a seven-time All-Pro, a four-time AFC champ. You can find his government forever etched into the Buffalo Bills Wall of Fame. He's Steve Tasker. Great player, class act. And who better to run down just a few days ahead of the Bills' journey back into the postseason, especially as the team is coming off their best year since Tasker was in his second of four straight Super Bowls with the very same franchise. Now, keep this in mind before you kind of shut down mentally on this. It might be a Bills-heavy pod, but the Bills play football, which makes it a football-heavy pod. And the Bills are awesome, which makes it an awesome, heavy pod. So don't go writing this off before you hear it, because you might hate the mafia. Tasker shows up huge. Extremely anecdotal, extremely conversational, high energy, a ton of passion. And he is fired up about this year's team. And understandably so.
You can only imagine what the scene would be like outside the stadium on a normal game in a normal season if the Bills were pulling the stuff off that they're pulling off this year. It would be absolutely off the hook. It's fun to think about. It's sad that it's not happening. But the vibe here is not only are they proud of this team, really happy about how they're playing and really optimistic about how these playoffs are going to go. They're also pretty content with the way the team looks going forward. So it feels like this is going to be a really special season, but one that could be followed up by a really special era as well.
Let's see what I'm struck by. I'm struck by it's not that vibe of, yeah, you know, bad things usually happen and we think they're going to happen again. I mean, nothing of the sort. He says, we're really confident. Really good things are happening around here. And this is not some kind of fluke. We didn't catch lightning in a bottle. We're building this thing the right way. We expect good things to happen. And he's not the only dude from a few decades back that are all jacked up on that team. He told me yesterday that he's in this big group text with a bunch of the legends from the 90s AFC dynasty that are losing their minds collectively as they watch this team ball out this year.
I'm on a text loop that I call the five presidents, you know, and it's me, it's Jim, Bruce, Thurman, Andre, Cornelius Bennett, Daryl Talley, and Romy. They are absolutely losing their minds over this team. They love it. They could not be happier for the team and the success it's having. There is absolutely no bitterness at all about, you know, the new guys playing well or, you know, comparing ourselves to these new guys or any of that. They could not be happier. It's an easy team to root for because they seem to be as closely knit as we were going into our fourth Super Bowl. You know, just a bunch of guys that knew each other so well and are having fun playing together. So those old guys could not be enjoying this success more.
I love that. And I love that. I love that about those guys. I love that about that team. I love that about that city. I love that about that franchise. It's like the most Buffalo Bills thing ever. You've got some of the best. Some of the best. And they were not able to cash one in. Yet guys, Hall of Famers, Jim Kelly, Andre Reed, Bruce Smith, Thurman Thomas. And they're hammering their thumbs every Sunday on a group text thread, just geeking on this team. I love to hear that. I'm not at all surprised. Once again, it speaks to that town. It speaks to that franchise and their history. I love that, though. Obviously, there's a lot about this current team that makes it special. The coach, the culture, guys like Stephon Diggs elevating the work ethic of everybody around him. He's great on Stephon Diggs, too. We got into that. But as you might imagine, it does start, as it always does, with the quarterback. You either have one or you don't in the NFL. You either have a franchise quarterback or you don't. The Buffalo Bills freaking have a franchise quarterback in Josh Allen. Trust that. Just ask Steve Tasker.
The guy's almost like a unicorn. He certainly has got all the boxes checked physically. He's got a huge arm. He's a big, tall, 6'5 athlete, can run. What the Bills knew they had in him were a couple of things. One, he's extremely intelligent. Two, he's a great kid. Everybody loves him. He's pulling for everybody on the team. Three, he works really hard at it, and he had a long way to go. But the club gave him stability around him and kept giving him more and more things to work with. And all of a sudden, you get to this season where there was no offseason, no preseason games, a lot of new faces on the offense, and the kid steps onto the field, and I guess he reached critical mass in his knowledge and his ability, because from week one on, they've been lighting it up, and all of the hard work he's put in has turned into this statistical year that in many years would win him the MVP.
This is why this is such a good pod. Like this Steve Tasker, this is why he is so good. It is such an easy listen. And he breaks this down perfectly. He talked about how Josh Allen did that. Like, how did Allen go from a guy that came out of Wyoming with so many question marks and turn into a bona fide MVP candidate in year three? And he is that now. Make no mistake, he is that. In any other year where Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes did not do what they did, then you would just hand the MVP trophy to Josh Allen. He's been that good. But then again, you don't need that or a statement like that to validate the kind of play that he's had this year. This guy has been absolutely amazing. You know, I'm on record with myself as saying that you have to give it to Aaron Rodgers. But I'm telling you, Josh Allen is not only in that conversation, he's not only in that group now. He's not only in that club now. He's going to be there for a long, long time. He's going to be there for a long, long time. He's only going to get better. He is that good. So you heard in the first clip that I played, the Tasker is a little bit bummed out that the fans cannot be there to share in this. I mean, because they're some of the best fans ever, and they've been through so much, and they have waited so long, and now finally the time is here, but they can't really take part, obviously, because of the pandemic. However, for the first time, they are going to let some fans in. It's not going to be the same experience. Now, for the 6,700 who get in, it's going to be awesome. But it's not going to be the same experience overall. However, the Bills' home field advantage is not only rooted in the Bills' mafia. That helps a hell of a lot. But there's also the elements. There's having to come to deal with the Bills in Buffalo in January. And Steve Tasker explained what that's like.
When we're playing with the Bills, we used to go down to Miami and have games late in the year down there. We always played really well in Miami. And people said, wow, how can you go down there? It's always hot. You guys been living up in Buffalo. I said, listen, you get off that plane, the airplane in Miami, you climb down that staircase, you just put your arms out, and you just soak in the sun and the warmth. It's just awesome. And you go out and you play the game. All you have on is a T-shirt under your pads, a jock and socks, man. You almost feel nude under your jersey, man. It's just awesome. In Buffalo, when teams come to Buffalo late in the year, particularly in January, they get off that charter flight in Buffalo, and they get slapped in the face by the cold. They climb down the stairs of that airplane, and they are hustling to the bus. They get out of the bus and go to their hotel. It is bitter cold. They go the next morning, they come out in pregame warmups, they walk in the tunnel. Everything is just bitter. It is an absolute shock. For the Bills players, you live in it, you work in it, you practice in it. It's another day at the office. Let's go.
Man,
that's the advantage.
What an amazing explanation that was. That was so good. That is such a great, great explanation that everybody wanted to know, like, how did you guys play so well in Miami, man? Wasn't it hot? Weren't you going to wilt in that heat? He's like, are you kidding? We'd come down the stairs off that airplane, arms outstretched, man. It felt amazing. And we'd go out there in our pads with just a t-shirt and a jock. We felt naked. And you couple that with what it must feel like, or what it does feel like for the opposition to come to our house, to come to Western New York, to come to Buffalo in January, and they get off that plane and it's 27 and it feels like it's 7 and it smacks them right in the face. Not us. Not us. We live here. We work here. We know what it's like. Man, that's so true. I just know this as a California native. Never mind football. Forget football. Forget what it's like to deal with that for like one day. Forget what it's like that that's their job. I think the guy's exactly right. There's something to be said about living and working in that environment. This is why those of us who are California natives do not fare well. This is why when I go to the AFC Championship game in Kansas City last year, I'm not prepared. This is why I'm still not right a year later. Because I don't live and work like that. But if you do, you can't tell me it's not going to have a factor or be a factor. I don't buy this. I don't buy this mind over matter. I'm going to go out there sleeveless. Man, it's cold. Really cold. And 27 in Buffalo, last I checked. Not exactly the climate-controlled indoor barn that the Colts are used to. So don't tell me that's not going to be a factor. I don't care how many fans are there. It's going to be a factor. A factor that Tasker says favors the Bills. I mean, you can take the fans away, but you cannot do anything about the bitter cold. God, it was so good to run down Steve Tasker. His energy was so infectious and passion. And you can tell he's feeling really good, Mafia. Really good about this team. So if you want some great stories from the 90s, in addition to like what Steve Tasker felt it was like or what he said it was like the first time he hit the field with Lawrence Taylor. You want to check out that pod. That's a great story. We get into that. We also get into a time that he and some of these great players from the 90s met with Sean McDermott. In fact, I think it was the first time they sat down for dinner. They cracked open a bunch of wine and they just talked shop for hours. And how McDermott took so much from that night and used a lot of what he took from that night to build upon what he's doing right now. So once again, yes, it's a Bills podcast, but it's a football podcast. Football is better when the Bills are good. No, life is better when the Bills are good, and right now, they're damn good. Like, good enough to win it all. Good. Find the episode. It's on Spotify. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Google Play. It's on JimRome.com. Even if you're not a member of the Bills Mafia, even if you do not like the Bills, you will like that podcast because Steve Tasker is a class act and there's some really good stories, really good content. Mafia, where are you? How are you feeling? Not only about this, not only about that matchup, but about going the distance. Come on now. At Nickel City Saint tweets, they hate us because they ain't us. Go Bills. This guy's tracking what I'm tracking. At Haunted 00 Horse, quote, James, Bitcoin just hit 40K. Congratulations, player. That is astonishing, man. That really is something. And I still have not decided yet what to do with mine. I've only got a little over one, but when I bought that one, back when Ben Mezra came on the program and we talked crypto, I didn't know that much about it, but I was really fascinated by what he had to say and his book. And a lot of you said, man, you are an idiot. You're an idiot, Rome. Did you know you could have had Bitcoin for $100? What are you doing now jumping in? I said, yeah, I know. Yeah, man, I wish everything that I invested in made me that much of an idiot. 40K. And yes, I understand it could go back the other way. And no, I don't know what to do with it. I don't know. There's lots of theories on what you do. Buy and hold. chip off your original investment, diversify with some other crypto, get out. I don't really know, but man, it's been a fun ride. 40 GER per coin. Let's take a short time out. When we come back, we'll talk some boxing. Hey, Bills Mafia, if not now, when? If not now, when? What are you waiting for? Colts are coming. Climate controlled. Not only that, but Philip Rivers spent his entire career in California. Tough guy, great quarterback. But Steve Tasker, I thought, laid that out beautifully. I don't care who you are, how tough you are. When you show up in that weather, it's a different deal. Ryan Garcia is next. Cam Hayward coming up in hour number three, and our phone lines are open.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Welcome back. We'll talk boxing momentarily. This guy's got a lot of it. A lot of it. And a champion. Ryan Garcia joining me momentarily. In the meantime, checking the reaction. Rome. Bitcoin is now 40K. So about a dinner for four here. Regards, Geisha House. Francis in Glendale. War Rich Flores using croissants as MMA gloves. Speaking of combat sports, we're joined right now by the WBC interim lightweight champion, 15-time national champ as an amateur. He was the Youth World's 2016 gold medal winner. He's undefeated, 21-0, 18 by KO. He defeated Luke Campbell by TKO on Saturday night. He is Ryan Garcia. Ryan, great to have you on the show. Ryan, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me. It's an honor to be on the show, and I thank you guys for having me. And yeah, I'm excited. Let's do this.
Let's do this. My man, I've been looking forward to it. It's great to have you on the show, Ryan. I appreciate you and the way you go about your business. Let me talk first about that win over Luke Campbell Saturday night. Campbell was an Olympic gold medalist. He was regarded as the toughest challenger of your career so far. So before we get into how that fight ended, can you take me back? What kind of thoughts and emotions did you have in the hours leading up to that fight?
There was a lot of things that go through your mind before a fight, but specifically for a big moment in my career, there was a lot of things up and down with emotion, a lot of doubts, a lot of things trying to creep in my mind, but I fought through it, and I positioned myself to get in there calmly, and, you know, I went out there and did my thing.
Ryan Garcia, my guest. So what about the doubts? For instance, you know, you're a really competent guy. You're a really confident guy. What kind of doubts were you having going into it?
Man, there's a million things. Can I really do this? Is this my moment, or have I jumped into something too quick? I mean, there's just every thought you could think of to come to my mind negative did. But like I said, you got to battle through the mind just as much as you have to battle through physically.
I respect that. That's a really candid response. So you have these thoughts, and then the fight starts, and then in the second round, he catches you with a left hook that knocks you down. Just so people know, how many times had you ever been knocked down in your career to that point, and then what was going through your moment when it or your mind when it happened?
I've never been dropped, ever. I mean, that was just an experience that obviously shocked me, but it didn't hurt. It was just... If people say you see black, I seen white when I got knocked down. It was like a little quick, you know, boop. I was down, got up, was a little dizzy, but, you know, I knew that I was in control of this fight, and I knew that if I kept on pushing forward, doing what I was doing, that my determination, my will is going to do it for me. Luke Campbell's a great fighter, though, and he's somebody that I respect deeply. He came to fight. He was in the best shape of his life, and I know he wanted to win more than anything. So, yeah, that moment was a shock, but I think it was needed.
Talking to Ryan Garcia, you know what's amazing is a lot of young fighters, and to your point, like that had never happened before. And until it happens, you never know how you're going to react to it. And yet that's happening to you on the biggest of all stages. Some guys fall apart when it happens. You jump right back up. You got right back into the fight. How were you able to do that and process that as quickly as you did?
Like I said, it was just... It was a moment that I don't know if it's correct, but It felt like it was meant to be, and because I, like I said, it was such a shock to me. I lost concentration for a split second. Like I my ankle out of nowhere before I go in the fight started tweaking a little bit, and I was like, "That's a little weird, but whatever. I'm gonna ignore it." Then when I get in the ring, I start thinking about it for a split second. It crosses my mind, and when I look up, I get dropped. So my initial thing was, okay, I'm gonna get up. I got up, and I was like, okay, I got dropped. That's what I said to myself. I got dropped, and I was like, but I wasn't losing this fight. I wasn't losing the fight. I'm going to go forward. I got him. Like, and I think Luke, everybody had a question, like, why didn't Luke jump on you? He knew not to jump on me. In the ring, you know things that people don't see on the outside because you're in there. So Luke knew that, oh, if I tried to jump on him, he might catch me. So, yeah, I just had that knowing of, I wasn't losing the fight.
Talking to Ryan Garcia, that's a great explanation. He's the WEC interim lightweight champion. Then in the seventh, you finish him off with an unbelievable body shot. Can you take me through the moments leading up to that shot, and then what did it feel like to drop him with that shot?
It felt so unreal, surreal. I couldn't believe it. I said to myself, like, wow. I knew it was going to be a body shot. I've always thought it was going to be a body shot. Was it the body shot? And then when I seen him go down on two knees and he's just gasping for air, I said to myself, wow, I did it. It happened. And I just went crazy with emotion. All my, the most realest emotions I could have had in my life. I mean, mom. I'm sorry, my mom was.
It's mom's. It's cool, man. Respect to moms.
I love my mom. But, yeah, so it was the most truest form of emotion after that body shot that you could ever experience. That's what people seen in that celebration after I dropped them.
Ryan Garcia is joining us. Ryan, this is such a good conversation, man. Don't ever, ever change. We're not done yet, but I just want to make the point mid-conversation. It's so good that you're able to kind of, you can relate these things to listeners and to fans of what it's like to be a fighter, what it's like to be a gladiator. Take us through these moments. I think you made such a statement. Saturday, you tweeted, quote, "You are not what they say you are. You are who you choose to be." End of tweet. Yeah. I love that mindset. Where does that approach come from, and what does that mean to you exactly?
Well, my whole life, a lot of kids would look at me and tell me that, one, I don't look like a boxer. Two, I'm some type of weak guy. You know, that's the impression they would put on me. And it's just things I've seen in my life where I notice people will make you feel like there's no way you can accomplish what you want. And, you know, whether it be your mom, your teacher saying, oh, don't go for the dream of being an NBA player, that's too far out, or don't, you know, or you won't graduate, or your parents telling you you're a bum or because you want to chase a music career. To me, it's like I've always had that feeling where they said, you can't be a boxer. Look at you. You're weak. You're this. You're that. And it was just a feeling in my heart to say, you're not what people say you are. It's who you choose to be. And I chose to be a fighter. I chose to be a champion. I chose to strengthen myself. So, you know, that's what I wanted to put out there.
I like it. Ryan Garcia joining us for a few more moments. You've also made it pretty clear you want Tank Davis. You want to fight Tank Davis. Why do you want to fight him, and do you think that he wants to fight you as badly as you want to fight him?
Because that's just how, that's what the people want. That's what, you know, that's my story, and that's just what I feel and I know. So second round knockout, don't be surprised when I knock him out cold second round in the second minute, and that's a promise. You'll see it, and when it happens, just know that it was said long before it happened.
It's on record. Hey, Ryan, before you go, like from where I'm sitting, I know it's one day at a time. I know it's one fight at a time. But to me, as I'm looking at you and the way you approach this and the way you're performing, I'm thinking about maybe the next 10 years. For instance, you've got a serious, serious following on social media. You're a hell of a fighter. You've got a lot of that it. You've got that megastar potential. Boxing's always looking for the next big star. Do you feel like you might be that guy? And what would that mean to you?
That would mean a lot. It would be something that I would be honored to be I guess the leader of boxing one day. But I plan to only be here for until I'm 26 years old. So once I'm done with my career and things that I want to do and the fighters I want to fight, I plan on to venture out into something else.
Hey, Ryan, is that the plan? Are you looking to fight maybe 4 or 5 more years and then get out? Is that your plan?
Yeah, that's my plan.
How come?
It's just in my heart. Once I do what I have to do, I plan to get out and take on a different type of battle.
What do you think that'll be?
Well, you see what the world's happening to the world right now, and I think good needs to be spread, and you know, positivity and love needs to be spread out. So I don't know. I don't know what that's going to be. Pretty much, it's, 4 or 5 more years away. So I don't know what that will be, but I know that I'm not going to be in here for that long.
So one final thought about that, Ryan. You're a young guy with a lot on your plate, but you have a great following. You've got this great platform. Do you think that maybe you can focus on both those things at once? Can you be a world champion and then focus on the world around you and what concerns you and try to make that difference right now?
Yes, most definitely. It's time. As you see, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of hate, and especially in this country. And I just want to make things more clear for people, and hopefully we can all come together as a unity for this country and trying to make it a better place. As you see, what you put out is what you inspire. And that is, if you inspire hate will come about. But if you inspire with love and true form of passion, that will be inspired as well. So I plan on to try to do both.
He is the WBC interim lightweight champ. He is coming off a big win over Luke Campbell, TKO on Saturday night, still undefeated, 21-0. Ryan Garcia, my man, lived up to all the hype, both in and outside the ring. Great to have you on, Ryan. Make sure you and I do that again soon.
Yeah, definitely. God bless.
Appreciate you. Appreciate you, Ryan. Good job. Ryan Garcia, lots of it. Lots of charisma. Lots of it. And I love the mindset. I could have gone on for another half hour with him. He's really interesting. But what I thought was interesting when I said that, never mind the next fight, I'm thinking about the next 10 years for you. And he said, yeah, I think I'm going to get out of this when I'm 26. So 4 years or 5 years from right now. He is an enormous star on social media. And that has led some to say, yeah, he's just a social media fighter. Yeah, I think he proved otherwise. I absolutely think he proved otherwise. I didn't think that he was that going into that fight, but coming out of that fight, I think he made that pretty clear. He sent that statement. He is not, quote, a social media champion. He does really well on social media. I'll tell you what that guy is, man. He's a radio interview champion. I love that. See, again, one of the reasons I grew up loving boxing, I love the sport. I mean, I absolutely loved the sport. Loved all sports, but I loved boxing growing up. But one of the things that I understood at an early age and why I love boxing so much, I understood that these guys were a very different breed. I mean, it takes such a different breed of cat to step between the ropes in the first place. And I was always fascinated by fighters. And then as I got older and I got into the business and I started to cover the sport and I spent a lot more time around the sport, I became even more fascinated. Fighters and the trainers. And even the promoters. I mean, the interviews I used to have back in the day with Don King and Bob Arum. I mean, the whole thing was just amazing. But it always revolved around the fighters and how different they were. And the point that I'm trying to make here is Ryan Garcia is the rare fighter that can kind of take you through what it's like to be a fighter and what he experienced in those moments. What athlete, much less a boxer, I mean, much less a boxer, but what athlete would admit to you or admit on a show like this that, yeah, man, I had a lot of doubts, lots of doubts before that fight. I mean, none of these guys admit that, even if they do, even if most of them do, hell, even if most of us do, who's transparent like that? You don't want to give the other guy any kind of edge. Who admits that? And then when I said, well, like, what kind of doubts? He didn't back off that either. He said, like, do I belong here? Is it my time? Am I good enough? Am I ready for this? But then I do what you have to do. I blocked it all out. And then I love that. And when I say to you, the thing I love about this guy is he's able to describe what it's like. He said, most say that when you get knocked out or knocked down for the first time, you see black. He said, not me. I saw white. And again, I have to stress, he had never been knocked down before. So you never know how you're going to react the first time it happens. I've heard a million fighters say that. You never know. And I said, so how'd you get up so quickly? How'd you know? He's like, I knew I was going to win the fight. I just knew. That's what I was there for. Loved it. Loved it. We were talking about his biggest moments, and then mom jumped in.
Realest emotions I could have had in my life. I mean, mom. I'm sorry, my mom was.
It's moms. It's cool, man. Respect to moms.
I love my mom. Realest emotions I could have had in my life.
He's like, mom. She's like, oh, I'm sorry. Mom. Hey, Ma! It's a meatloaf! That's good stuff. Ryan Garcia. All right, let's break. I ran heavy there, but he was that good. Love it. I love it when you know a guy's going to be good, and then he's so much better than you even expect. First time I've spoken to him. That will not be...
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Once again, my thanks to Ryan Garcia. What a ton of it. What a ton of it. Hitman Canadian is in, quote, we give you plenty of credit, Ryan, for getting back up. Signed, Chumbawamba. Jordan West LA is in. I want Tom. I want Tom. Signed, Radiohead fans.
Thanks, bro. But I'm a
not what we're talking about. Tom Brady, not Tom York. And then I mentioned I had a preview. I haven't gotten into it yet, but I mentioned that in the pandemic, there are some industries that have taken just a terrible battering. A ton of industries and lots of people. But there are some things that have actually benefited from the pandemic. And golf is one of those things. Golf is booming. Connor in San Diego tweets, golf is booming? So is tennis. And it sucks. These kooks come to our courts in La Jolla. They spray the ball everywhere. I nail an ace or tickle a perfect drop shot. And now I've got to replay the point. Beat it, Barneys. Why is that, Connor? Because why? I don't understand that. They don't play, they don't know the game, and now they're playing the game, and you're too good, or they try to hook you, or they cheat. I don't know. He mentions La Jolla, though, which gets me to thinking. So during the break, normally at the end of the year, we have that 1 week off at the end of the year on the show, and we always go somewhere. Normally, being a California native, I try to find a beach, or I try and find some sun. You know, when we had our house in Montana, we did that for a number of years and tried to ski, enjoyed that, like that, right? So we're not so good in the winter, so I'm looking for someplace warm, except during the pandemic, we're not looking to go anywhere. And we do have the house in northern Wisconsin, and that looked cold as hell. And I didn't want to travel at this point if it wasn't business related. And I really didn't want to go to the cold of Wisconsin. So we had a staycation. So I stayed home for the better part of a week. Janet says, I got to get out of the house. We got to get out of the house, but we have to do so responsibly. We're going to San Diego. So we get the family together. Jake is home from Wisconsin, where he goes to college. Logan is still in high school. And we drive down to San Diego. And we have a day in San Diego. And Janet is leading the charge. Janet and I, of course, famously met in San Diego when I got my big break on 690 AM. So we both lived in San Diego. We met in San Diego before I moved to LA, and then she moved to LA. So that was kind of a homecoming. We went back to our old stomping grounds. So Janet led the charge and was describing everything to the kids. We go, and it's not like we haven't been there before, right? We go to the track, we go to Del Mar, but we did the full-on tour and went everywhere. And about halfway through it, we both decided at almost the same time, well, hell, we're definitely going to Pacific Beach. We have to go to PB because that's where I landed when I moved from Santa Barbara. Remember, when I was in Santa Barbara, I was trying to get that job at 690 and spent the better part of really 2 years plus just hammering the phones, pounding resumes, trying to get a job there. And when I finally got the job there, I landed in Pacific Beach in December of 1990. December of 1990. And PB is just a badass, old school beach town. It's just awesome. So I said to Janet, let's go to PB. Let's show the kids where the old man got his start, where the old man lived. So I go to Pacific Beach and I go to the apartment where I lived. They were the Oakwood Apartments, the corporate apartments. And we get out of the car. I said, Jake, come with me. Jake wants to get into the journalism school at Wisconsin. And he wants more, he's more about politics than he is sports, but he wants to be a journo. So Jake and I have never actually worked together on any kind of project, media project or content project. I said, Jake, come with me. So we go to the corner of where I dropped into PB. And it's incredible, right? Maybe you saw this on Instagram. This is why you want to follow me on Instagram, because I posted this video. It's a video that Jake and I did together. I said, Jake. And Jake's got lots of thoughts on content. I said, Jake, here's what I want you to do. I'm just going to do a stand-up. Get me on this corner. Get a shot of the apartment. Get a shot of the famous bar across the street from the apartment, Rocky's. Famous bar. Get a shot of the liquor store, Crest Liquors, a famous liquor store. These places were all there when I was there in 1990. He's like, yeah, Dad, I got it. I got it. I got a pop. I got a pop. And I said, cue me before you do it. And we've never done anything together before. I give him my phone and Jake's like, rolling. And then I do it. I do my stand-up. I'm like, hey, hey, yo, what's cracking? This is where I got my start. I'm with the fam. And then I post it, and it does really well, and the reaction's great. But I'm driving around, so I'm not really looking at the reaction. Maybe a couple hours later, I go and I look at it, and I'm happy to see the reaction, and I listen to it. And I hear, rolling. I'm like, are you kidding? And Jake says, what? I said, rolling? You have that. And Jake, very respectfully, he's a great kid. He didn't say, yeah, dumbass, didn't you edit it or listen to it before you posted it? He didn't say that, but he did say, didn't you listen to it or edit it before you posted it? And I said, no, son, I didn't, because I said to you, cue me. So we had our first content discussion, our first content disagreement. And a lot of you love that. You thought that was funny. You thought that was cool. A lot of you thought it was Logan. It was actually Jake. And you know what the weird thing is? Maybe not so weird. Like, the kid's actually right. I mean, I should have listened to it before I posted it, but I was just with the family and driving around. I just want to push it out there, get it out there. But that was the first father-son content conversation we had.
Rolling.
All right, it's Tuesday, bud. Good job, Britt. This is how that sounded. This is Jake. And I'm like, hey, Jake. And so we actually, believe it or not, for like five seconds, it was actually a little bit tense. I'm like, hey, come on, dude. I mean, that's something that I pushed out there. That's content. I posted that, you know, for 5 seconds. And then you realize it's actually pretty funny.
Rolling.
All right, it's Tuesday, bud. I'm going to throw it back anyway. Listen to Jake Rome. And then I'm like, hey, Jake. There you go, Jake. Because Jake's constantly about, hey, Dad, with all due respect, like, don't get me wrong, Dad, Pop. Like, I really respect your grind. I really respect what you've accomplished. But, you know, just know, like, I'm my own dude here. I'm my own guy. I'm like, good. Good. You can take care of me one day, because I'm not taking care of you once you're out the house. But I said to him, Hey, now this is actually a good thing. This was your debut. Like, listen to the sound, man. Your voice, you just got pushed out. You got a lot of people who are hearing you now, Jake.
Rolling.
All right, it's Tuesday, bud. I'm going to throw it back anyway.
All right, so you can see the full video if you want on my Instagram feed at Jim Rome. You can see where I got my start. And something for you youngsters, and you can hear how Jake got his start. You can see where I got my start, and then you can hear Jake get his start.
Rolling.
All right, it's Tuesday, bud. I'm going to throw it back.
It's me and the kid. He looks like me. He sounds like me. And a quick bit of advice as I end the hour. I was taken back, all right? So now that I'm in midlife, I was taken back by, like, damn, this place is so awesome. Why didn't I spend more time at Rocky's, which was right across the street? Why didn't I spend more time at that liquor store, which was right across the street? Because I was all about the grind, trying to end up here. But you can do both. You can do both. You can be all about the grind and also be present and enjoy where you are. Third hour is coming up next. Go to my Instagram feed, at Jim Rome. Check out the entire video. Follow me, please.